Blog Talk Radio.
Monday.
We're in a special today. This is The Last Word. And I'm Michael Lawson. It's the day before the end, as they say in Skyfall. It's the day before the end. If the sky falls, this is the end. It's the end of the Republican Party as we know it. If there is no cheating and stealing of votes like in 2004 and in 2000. It's a sad day because you can't have the night without the sun. You can't have the moon without the sun. You can't have day without night. You can't have the Cowboys without the Redskins. Even they're both losing. Well, that's a whole nother story. We're just a few hours away. 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Till the 28 hours here in Charlotte, North Carolina, till the polls will be closed. Now let's go in and tell you what it looks like. The latest polls are likely voters. Obama, 48. Romney, 47. The early vote is where it is going to make the difference. In the early vote count, Obama, 51%. Romney, 44%. 4 in 10 voters may have already voted. In the battleground states, that's the states. We're not talking about Georgia. We're not talking about Louisiana. We're not talking about Texas. We're not talking about those red states with nobody there and no electoral votes. We're talking about the battleground states, Florida, Ohio, Virginia, Michigan, Wisconsin. That's what we're talking about. In the battleground states, Obama is 50%, Romney 46%. In women, Obama 51%, Romney 43%. In men is where there is a difference. It's 6%. Obama 44%, Romney 51%. Now, that is what it says at the moment. Now, they also had some questions. Who is looking out for the middle class? Who? According to the latest polls, and this is the average, we're not taking one single poll. Obama 51, Romney 40. Now, let's take some of these individual battleground states. Let's take Florida specifically. As the first one, in Florida, over one-third of the expected voters have already turned out to vote. As a matter of fact, they're still online. Because that criminal Rick Scott governor down there doesn't want people. We don't mean people. He doesn't mean people. He means, quote, African Americans or those of Latin descent to vote early. Well, you know what? One third already in. Obama 50, Romney 44. That means on election day, 53% of everyone that comes out has to vote for Romney for him to win Florida. Let's look at Iowa. One third of the voters are already voted in Iowa. Obama leads there, 64 to Romney's 35%. Again, on election day, Romney would need 59% of the remaining voters on election day in order to win Iowa. Now, this was a major surprise to me. This was a major, major surprise. North Carolina has already had half of all its voters vote. I mean, that's amazing. And I just, you know, according to the averaging, Obama's got 58 and Romney's got 41%. That means Romney has to get 57% of all the vote totals on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. I thought this was very close, because that's not a close race if he needs 57% of the vote on Tuesday. But hey, what do I know, right? In Ohio, it's the same thing. Obama leads 59 to Romney's 35, or more than half a vote in Ohio. And we're going to talk about Ohio. Colorado, 60% have already voted. And Obama is leading Romney 51 to 43. Now, Colorado, Ohio, Iowa, and Florida, Romney has to win all four. He has to win all four. Even if he wins Florida and North Carolina and New Hampshire and Colorado, he can't win. He has to clean the floor. Now, we're going to talk about Florida. Let me tell you what they're doing in Florida. This Rick Scott and this Adam Putnam, who is the chair of the Progressive Party in Florida. Let me tell you, they have gotten so nervous over the weekend since Friday that the Progressive Party, starting on Friday, was trying by all means necessary to get buses and mass people to get people to early vote. How about that? When they have been trying to stop the early vote. They've been trying to stop the early vote since it wasn't for the federal courts, there wouldn't have been an early vote. So now they know they have to make up the difference. So they have gotten together 3,000 people who have gone down there, and they're trying to get people out to vote early. And that's how bad it's gotten. So he has a massive early vote campaign for the Progressive Party, and it's led by Adam Putnam, the campaign chair. Now, as a matter of fact, I think we have a little something here on the campaign chair. I want you to listen to this. So these are the same people that didn't want the early vote. Now all of a sudden they want an early vote? I mean, that's in Florida. Now, it has really become completely outrageous what they want to do. They are so frightened. And let me tell you why. Because the guesstimate is now, by the year 2020, they will be the minorities in this country. Hispanics will be the majority. And you know what that means? That means they will never be in charge of this federal government again in life. That's what that means. They know this is their last hurrah, and their thing is, we got to get in there one more time to get rid of every single thing. If the dog got two eyes, we're going to make it known you can only have one eye, so you got to get rid of the dog. They're going to try every single thing to prevent So they can't prevent it because it's happening. They went along with this the abortion rules back in the 50s because African Americans were having more children than they were. Now they don't have any children. So now what are they going to do? They need to stop it. But it's too late. The snowball is rolling down the hill. They will not be in charge. As a matter of fact, they're even saying that by 2020, they will no longer control Texas. So if they don't control Texas, they will never control any government agency again. So even if the Democrats lose this election, we're only talking about another 8 years. That's all we're talking about, because they will never get the Hispanic vote. George W. Bush realized this when he was governor and when he ran for president, and he said, I need to get 40%. And he got 41%. That's what put him over the top in becoming president. And then he ran a second time. He says, I need to get 43% of the Hispanic vote. He got 44% of the Hispanic vote. Do you know what Mitt Romney is getting right now? Not even 34% of the Hispanic vote. And that is putting it high. So if we just have the same turnout with Hispanic voters as we did when George Bush ran, which we will have a heck of a lot more, because we had a heck of a lot more when Barack Obama ran the last time, because Barack Obama got over 64-65% of the Hispanic vote. McCain got 43%, but that wasn't enough to put him over. But because there was a higher voter turnout on the African American side. But this time, because Mitt Romney will admit Romney was too smart by half. He ran with the idea that he was going to be conservative, but not blatantly conservative like the mutts that ran with him in the GOP in the primaries. But they pulled him so far to the right that he had to out-conserve them. He had to outright them. He had to right flank them on their outward tips of their fingers so much that he alienated the Hispanic community. And if he doesn't get 45% of the vote or 47% of the Hispanic vote, there is no way on this planet this man can win, provided the same amount of Hispanics turn out as they did in 2008. And believe me, I think they will. So he is in a major problem right now, a major problem. Let me see who I got on the phone right here. Hello there, who's this?
Michael Evans, how are you?
Michael Evans, how are you?
Doing well.
And how's everything on the left coast?
Well, you know, we're working hard to the wire. I know those of you think we don't do anything here because we're not a swing state, but we have a lot of important stuff happening locally.
You have a lot of, well, like what? What's going on there locally?
Well, there's two major ballot propositions. Of course, there's 11 on the ballot, but there's two really critical ones.
How long is the wait? How long is the wait if you got 11 things on the ballot? Holy cow.
Well, and that's just state initiatives. When you add local initiatives, some of the ballots can be even longer.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Well, what's the major issues?
Well, there's two. Proposition 32 is the third effort to essentially remove union money from the political process. But this time they've cleverly disguised it as if it would eliminate both union money and corporate money. Of course, it exempts most corporations and clearly is an initiative that would just keep working people and middle-class people from having their voice heard. So we're absolutely hoping to turn that one back. And then Prop 30, Governor Brown put this forward to support education. As you know, we've had a number of issues with our statewide budget here, some fiscal issues. And what Prop 30 would do is it would raise the tax on the highest income earners and specifically put money toward education to get the fiscal process back in order. And so these two are absolutely critical to what kind of California we will have after Election Day.
Okay, but isn't California – what is the – don't they have a major deficit?
We do, and this starts to address that. So when you look at both Prop 30 and the improving economy, which we're definitely going to have under Barack Obama's second term, we feel like we started to turn around that budget issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much of an increase on the Mitt Romney types are they proposing to tax?
Could you say that again?
How much of an increase do they want to raise on the 1%?
I think it's 1% on 500,000 and above, 2% on 750,000 and above, and 3% on a million and above. And that only kicks in when you get to that level. You know, it's what you make over that amount.
Well, I mean, that's even more than the federal government wanted to do.
Well, it could be, but it's at least that the people who have received the most from society can give back to it.
Gee, I mean, that sounds like an Obama commercial because they only wanted to go, I think it was 1% on the upper 1%. But that was over $1 million, so, you know.
That's a good point. Well, in fact, you know, I just came from a rally with Governor Brown. He was in Fresno today, pitching this proposition. And he was talking about the importance of it. And then he asked, he says, now, how many of you in this crowd would not take $1 million a year if you just had to pay 3% extra to get it? And he got a pretty good response for that.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see? Hey, you don't know unless you ask. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah, you don't know. But now, we know California is going to go blue. But what are you seeing from your standpoint on the left coast as far as the Rust Belt, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, how does that look to you out there?
Well, obviously we're seeing the same polling that everybody else is seeing. One thing that has really confused people here has been all this discussion of, the Romney momentum, because we haven't seen what that was or what it entailed. It doesn't seem to have made a lot of sense. And on the other hand, you know, when they show, as most of the networks do, you know, Obama campaigning and then Romney campaigning, you can clearly see, number one, how better a campaigner Obama is, but number two, how he's laying out policies that are going to work for the average American. And Mitt Romney doesn't even know there are average Americans.
Well, this is the thing that I really can't understand. They keep saying, Obama has not laid out any policies that he wants to do. He's never submitted a budget. The budget was submitted and rejected by the House, what, three times? I mean, give me a break here.
Well, this
and
is
what
just,
has
you know,
what has Romney submitted? He has never. He says, "Take my word for it. If you elect me, I'll get it done." I mean, that's not a budget,
right? Well, I'm convinced that there's a chapter in the Republican playbook on blaming the other side for doing exactly what you're doing, and you know, because they do this all the time. You know, they claim
right.
Obama won't work with Republicans. Well,
right.
In fact, they won't work with Democrats, you know. And
since day one.
You know, you see that sort of thing. And like the whole signage thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've been involved in grassroots politics for 40 years. We've never even had a discussion about making the other campaign signs. And yet Republicans do it as a matter of course.
Unbelievable. You know, listen, now you were the chair of the Democratic Party here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now I'd like to have your. I'm looking at these polls. Did you hear what I? Were you on when I was reading out what it was in North Carolina? Here they said half of all voters have already voted, and Obama is winning that 58-41%. That means Romney has to win 57% of all the votes. On Tuesday. Now, I mean,
That's true, and that's very important and critical. And in conjunction with that, I had read a statistic that I think the African American vote was up 23% in early vote from 2008. That is a huge number. Remember, Republicans always turn out much higher on election day. You remember in 2008 when. They released the early.
What happened?
535 lead in virtually every race on the ballot. I mean, they even had leads in Republican controlled
districts.
Can you
say that again? Because you got cut out there. Well, say that over again. I didn't hear that.
When they released the early vote numbers in 2008, the Democrats had pretty much a 65-35 lead in everything on the ballot. But once the election day numbers started coming in, you know, that quickly changed. And in some races, and particularly in races where it was a solidly Republican district, like you remember County Commission District 1.
Early vote
numbers, the Democrat had the lead. They ended up losing that one. The governor's race, it was a huge lead for Beverly Perdue in early voting. And, you know, McCrory almost closed that gap. With the election day, though.
Well, but was it a 57%? Do you think that? I mean, high to me to get 57%
of
all the votes.
The work that has been done is excellent, and I certainly hope, as do you, that it holds up.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, don't get confident. Yeah, you still got to go out and drive folks to the poll on election day.
Absolutely. The other issue is that I can't believe how the Republican, the regressive machine, can take the double down, especially in Ohio. With the Jeep deal. How can they, when Chrysler has come out and said it's a lie, and he goes out and cuts a commercial saying that it's true? I mean, does he not feel that people won't see this as just a bald-faced lie?
Well, you know, it's a good question. It gets right to the issue of trust and leadership, and you would think that the voters would see through this.
I mean, because, you know, he's not only saying this in New Mexico or in quiet corners, like he says. He's had this commercial in Ohio. I mean, if he said it in New Mexico or Tallahassee or Louisiana, okay, I buy that. But why would you run that commercial in Ohio when they know what you've done?
I have a suspicion this is one of those things we're going to look back on and say it was a serious mistake. But then again, you know, in Ohio, clearly part of their strategy is to disenfranchise voters. And we've already seen extremely long lines there. And although we don't know what's happening inside the polling place, I think we can rest assured that there's probably been challenges and a number of people forced to vote provisionally.
Well, now that's the other thing here about this provisional ballots, because this guy, the Secretary of State, Houston, he is so blatant that it's just completely gone ballistic what this man wants to do. He has, in Ohio, he was issued a directive by the courts themselves, telling them that he had to change the information on the recording ballot, on the provisional ballot. The provisional ballot he has, now this is unbelievable, there's a provisional ballot, and he made this provisional ballot where you have to put your name on it, your middle name, everything. Then you had to write the last four digits of your Social Security number. You had to write your driver's license number down. And then you had to put the last four digits of your Social Security number in the right spot. Then you had to check whether or not you were military, you were current with your utility bills, okay, another form of ID. You had to bring a passport if you didn't have all this other stuff. Now, the court said you can't do that this way, because one of the last provisions was that he made it the responsibility of the voter to make sure everything was spelled correctly, all boxes were checked, and no boxes were missing. This, for the last 50 years in Ohio, has been the job of the person who is who's taking your information down at the voting place. So he has changed all that around. So now, if it's not correct, they throw your ballot out. So we're supposed to hear by 6 o'clock tonight whether or not the federal courts have thrown out this directive that he has issued to the people who are counting the ballots in Ohio. Now, there has been so many changes. People, unless they are trying to actually do their best and vote, are going to miss this and are going to be discouraged. I mean,
it's a huge problem. And, it could take out days or even weeks to sort this out. But who ends up being the winner in this election will determine how these issues are treated in the future. If the unfortunate should happen and Romney should win, I think you're going to see these voter suppression issues become the norm.
Absolutely. That is absolutely. I mean, the problem is, though, when this happened the last time in 2008, there were 2.1 million ballots, provisional ballots cast, and 1.1 million provisional ballots cast, and 2.1 million provisional ballots cast, and 1.1 were thrown out.
Right.
Now, the problem is that they brought them all back except 200,000. That could be the difference. Obama only won North Carolina by 14,000 votes.
Right.
What we're seeing here in Ohio, we're talking about 18 votes that could go overnight to who knows where.
Mm-hmm.
So, then you have the same thing down in Florida. They have a lot of people waiting on lines for 6 and 7 hours. 1 o'clock last night, they were still waiting to get in to vote. Now, there's supposed to be 3,000 or 4,000 DNC lawyers who are going to be spread out to, I guess, all the major battleground states. But that's not even enough.
Right. And I think we've reached the point where we need some federal guidelines on how to run an election.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it should be against the law to keep a voter, you know, a qualified voter from voting.
Well, you see what Obama's President Obama's new best friend, Chubby Chris Christie, is doing now. He's allowing them people, the voters, to vote by email, just like military does.
Yeah, I mean, that's a direction that we should be moving in, and perhaps, you know, if that model works, perhaps that's a model that we'll be able to use elsewhere in the country.
Okay, but do you really believe that the Republican, the Regressive Party, would allow that to happen? There is no way on this planet. I'm surprised they're not screaming at that right
now. There's a simple solution to that. Don't elect them.
Well, gee, you know, you're right. That is, now, all we have to do now is just pray for the big three. Alan West, and Paul Ryan, and the other misfit, what's her name,
Michelle Bachmann?
Michelle Bachmann, to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a double loss for Ryan. But the, you know, so that's the coup de grace. But I believe that Chris Christie, who knows he's going to be in a tough battle in a blue state, is the reason why he is buttering up the President of the United States. One, because he knew he could not slap him in the face and expect to get anything done, even though FEMA, Romney wants to get rid of, and
mm-hmm.
he never answered the question. But he needs to run again. So this might put him in fairly good shakes down the road when he wants to run again for governor, because he will never – ever be the Regressive Party candidate after this debacle.
Well, I think you're right about that, but you know, that's for a discussion for after the election.
Yeah, that is the Well, I know you have a lot of things to do, so I don't want to hold you. But
it's been great talking with you.
Yes, it was great talking to you. And matter of fact, when the president wins this tomorrow. We'll have a wrap-up. What's your schedule look like on Friday?
Friday? The election's over. You've got me.
Okay. All right. We're going to have a big talk on this come Friday.
That sounds great. I look forward to it.
Okay, Michael Evans.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'll be talking to you. Yes. Now, let me just there was one other thing I wanted everyone to hear about the something that the Republican Party is pushing out now. And this is so unbelievable. Just listen to this. Can you believe they're talking about Abraham Lincoln? They went from Reagan to Abraham Lincoln in 1863. Are you kidding me? They can't get another Republican president that they can talk about? I guess they just wore out the ground talking about Reagan. If Abraham Lincoln was running for president right now, I'd vote for him. I mean, these people must be nuts. This is so outrageous. Now, let me give you one other person on the other side that gives his reasons why he's going to vote. That was General Colin Powell. I mean, you know, what can you say when a man of his reputation says something like that? What can you say? The man has seen it all. He has seen everything. He's been through two Bushes already. And I don't mean in the jungles of Vietnam. He was there too. So three Bushes. And I know he's fed up with the Bushes. Now that he's in a clear field and he doesn't have to just salute the Bushes, he's saying what is correct. We need someone with clear eyes. We cannot go back to the Bushes. And as a matter of fact, when you look at it carefully, George W. Bush is almost a liberal compared to Mitt Romney and his ilk. Because, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you one thing. When you elect Mitt Romney, if you ever do, it's almost like getting AIDS. Because if a guy sleeps with a woman with AIDS, he's not only slept with that woman, but he slept with every other guy she slept with. Same thing, vice versa. If a woman sleeps with a guy with AIDS, she slept with every single person. They bring them with them. And along with that AIDS is the Supreme Court. You'll get all those Thomases and Scalias, and you'll get these Michelle Bachmans, and you'll get that horrendous Alan West in Florida. You'll get that Murdoch. You'll get this Aikens. I mean, you don't want to get AIDS. So don't elect Mitt Romney. See, we have a phone here. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Mikey, it's George.
Yes. Hey, George, what's up?
These polls and stuff like that, these numbers sound so good, I'm telling you, but you got to remember you're walking a thin line. Because you're walking a line that's saying, well, he can't lose, and these are so great. So when somebody's on that line for 2 hours and it's cold out there and they need to go to the bathroom, they're going to say, I can go home, because it's not, you know, you got to be very careful.
That's right. When
you
know, you
don't
go
be overly
to the
optimistic.
Line.
I mean, you're throwing in every once in a while, but I mean, when some of these percentages, oh, it's 35%, then I say, well, then I don't have to go. It's a thin line. You don't want to be pessimistic and we don't have a chance, but, you know, your closing statement, please tell the people all these numbers are good if they go out there and vote, if they stay out there.
Well, absolutely. The thing is that we're in this condition right now because nobody came out to vote in 2010. We would not have 36 Republican regressive governors and a complete House takeover. There were 65 seats that changed hands in 2010. That's almost a record. And that's because everybody thought when this black man got in the White House, there was going to be a chicken in every pot. Well, there ain't a chicken in every pot. Some people don't even have pots.
But, you know, that's the other thing. I find it incredible when people in the Regressive Party say, well, you know, he didn't work with the Congress. This
right.
guy did everything he could to get along with these people. You know what I mean? It was incredible that they would not – if he put his name on the Bible, they'd take it off. He couldn't give them anything that they would sign. It was – I mean, and then they turn around and say he wasn't cooperative.
Well, yeah. Well, listen, I want you to hear this. Now, just listen to this. Listen to this.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Now, that was said by Paul Weinrich, the architect of the conservative movement. They don't want people to vote.
When I first heard that, I was in. It's, you know, that goes. That's almost as bad as Rush Limbaugh saying that he hopes the president fails.
Oh,
that's,
of course.
That's the most incredible statement I've ever heard, because I'm on an airplane. I could hate the pilot. I wanted to land the plane safely.
You're right about that.
I don't understand how you can say you want the president
to
fail.
Give me Denzel in the cockpit. Give me Denzel in the cockpit.
that statement there, was that's worse than Romney's 47% thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That statement.
Absolutely. And he said this 10 years ago. I mean, they don't want people to vote. That's the reason why they have all these shenanigans with the polling, with the ballots, with
the
IDs,
yeah.
The chads. They don't want people to vote. Because, and Al, if you heard the beginning of the show, in 2020, they're not going to ever get back in office again. Because the Hispanic population will outnumber the white population. And all the devilment and shenanigans they've been doing will come home to roost. And they will never get back in office, which is ends another problem for Democrats. Because without a good, strong Republican Party, not regressive party, Republican Party, you do not have a strong Democratic Party. Because you can't let the Democrats run roughshod either, because they will.
Right.
Yeah, that's just like giving a child, giving him the keys to the candy store. You don't think he's just going to take one jelly bean and leave the rest? I don't think so.
You're right. Having the Republicans around keeps you on your toes. But like
absolutely.
You're talking about, now I'm talking about the Republicans that were the Republicans, not these psychos they got out there now.
These are not Republicans.
These are just psycho people.
But what's the story about the sleeping with the tiger? You're laughing with the tiger, and you ever see that commercial with the Black Panther sitting on the mantelpiece of the people sleeping in the bed because they sure they got a leopard that's their watch cat. But they don't close their eyes, and the leopard is sitting there licking his lips, just looking at him, waiting for them to close their eyes, because as soon as they close their eyes, he's jumping on the bed. So you can't let these people. They let the regressive party in, the Republicans, because they saw that their field was narrowing where they could not get elected. And they said, oh, man, these people are going to help us because they excite the base. Well, the base, they took it from them, and they're no longer the Republicans, Goldwater.
When they got those people to sign pledges, I'm not signing a pledge about anything because circumstances change. When they had people sign pledges that they would never – hey, listen, if bombs are falling, give me a tax increase and stop the bombs from falling. You know what I'm saying? They make pledges. I will never vote for an income tax increase, or I will never vote for something. How can you – that's stupidity to sign a thing that you'll never vote for something when situations change.
Yeah, well, Grover Norquist, the one who said that and issued that ultimatum, said – all we want to have is someone with enough digits to sign the paperwork. That's all we want. And we'll do the rest. That's what he wants. Now, I want you to hear this little thing. This is Lawrence O'Donnell, who did a fabulous job in explaining who the matador and the bullfighter is.
Happened last night. The news media, poll, Reuters poll showed us that basically nothing happened. That today, in a poll taken today, that President Obama has gone up 1 point from 47 to 48. Mitt Romney's gone up 2 from 41 to 43. That's movement within the margin of error. It means absolutely nothing. The Denver Post headline today uses a sports analogy, uses a boxing analogy, round one. John Ingold, who wrote the Denver Post front page story, switches to another sport, if we can call bullfighting a sport, in the first paragraph of his article. It's really, really perfect. Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney rhetorically charged at President Barack Obama in their first presidential debate at the University of Denver on Wednesday. In a clash that was notable for Romney's aggressiveness and Obama's reluctance to engage in a direct fight. Here's the great part. Like a bull to a matador, Romney time and again turned toward Obama to deliver attacks on the president's job performance, portraying him as clueless to his political, to his policy's impacts, and hopeless in trying to turn the economy around. Like a bull to a matador, Romney time and again turned toward Obama to deliver attacks. Like a bull to a matador. And what does a matador do to the bull in the end?
Yes. What does the matador do to the bull in the end? We will hope to see that happen tomorrow. But, you know, the matador only does it when the crowd says, do it. So the crowd has to tell him that they want him to finish off this bull with a vote in the voting booth tomorrow, if you haven't already voted. Because sometimes the bull gets the matador.
I hope we don't have those horrendous lines tomorrow here in South Carolina.
Well, we've had
7 hours.
Horrendous.
That's criminal.
Well, I tell you what, I voted early vote every single time I voted since early vote started here in North Carolina, in Charlotte. I have never waited more than 2 minutes, and that was just to see where I was going to go, which booth. I waited 47 minutes. I counted it, 47 minutes. My wife waited an hour and a half. One of my daughters waited an hour and a half. The Janine, other daughter, she said, you know, I came in about 5 minutes to five, and there was only two people ahead of me. The time I got out of from voting on the machine, there was 30 people on the line. And I said to the guy said, you just made it. He said, because we're going to be inundated. She said, I just can't believe it. But it's been amazing. It's been amazing. So, and the statistic I was reading about the North Carolina being so close, I just couldn't believe it myself. But as the last caller, Michael Evans said, you know, there is a lot of Republicans that only vote on voting day. So we'll have to see. We will have to see. But listen, now in the meantime, Skyfall is Friday. Are you going Friday?
They tell me Wednesday, but I can't believe I can't believe we're not going to get Skyfall. They tell me on Wednesday what to see.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have nothing to do with it. They tell us.
Oh, they tell you. So now if you do
that, that's usually it's basically the big picture.
Okay. So
that's got to be the big picture.
When would you see it? Wednesday or Friday?
I'll see it on Friday. On Friday. They tell us Wednesday what day is coming, you know, what day, what to see. And then the picture comes out on Friday.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a review on it the following week. We will have a review on Skyfall. And we're going to end the show with Skyfall. And I want to thank everybody who was here today on the show that was listening in this special edition. And Adelaide, I love this song. As a matter of fact, Daniel Craig said that when he heard the first two or three lines, he was in love with the song. So, George, I'll be talking to you.
All right.
And everybody else out there, get out the vote. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. And she's warming up in the bullpen. So get there and vote.
Hold your breath and count.
Influence count.
To ten.
Use it.
Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burn. Where you go?